Right down there. We don't have a lot of pictures on the board.
Oh, you can wipe.
Did you get yours done this morning?
No, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Slide that maybe like a little bit.
Yeah. There you have your
wiper.
Yes.
This weekend. There was none of this happening this weekend.
No.
Distracted by New Orleans. I was, yeah.
I wipe more than I actually go due to my daughter and son. So.
Okay.
It's all good.
We have this side conversation going on about wiping.
Can't wait to share an office space the other day.
Yeah. It's a little, it's a little TMI going on.
If you play your cards right,
maybe you can teach me. I don't know. Cool.
Well, first of all, I just got in touch with my appreciation and gratitude for you, and because we're co-creating something. And co-creation is the most fun thing to do, because we go off and we read your surveys, and then we go, oh, and then Josh is going to tell you about something new that we developed. And so while I'm driving here, I'm appreciating the dark clouds and that it's a cool day. I'm doing my appreciation. I didn't have time to write it. And the fact that there's going to be some rain, it's going to dampen down some more of the pollen. And then I started thinking about each of you, and it was like, woo, when I got here, it was like, really buzzy. Because it's so fun to do that. But I'm going to hush, and Josh is going to take over.
Cool. All right. So, just wanted to check in with all you about the positive aspects process. And did you have a chance, first of all, did you do it?
Yes.
And secondly, what were... Did you find it easy to do, to come up with the aspects? Can kind of just share a little bit of your experience, maybe. Does anyone want to jump in? Or?
I think I kept reverting back to, like, the same things, like,
yeah.
Nature was easy to find positive things, my dog, you know, certain things. But then, some days it was a lot easier than others. And my accountability partner was great. We did good.
Yeah.
This weekend was non-existent, but other than that, I mean, we really worked on it.
She
so.
Was in New Orleans for her.
Booze has the same effect.
We had lots of positive. Yeah.
I was happy all the time.
What's that?
Y'all had a bit of an opposite week, bachelorette party, and
oh yeah,
yeah, going the opposite way.
Yeah, that's funny.
Equally as happy.
Anyone else? Did anyone else find it was easier as you went along? Just kind of like, you kind of got in the habit of finding things? Or
actually, it was like, as it went along, you know, y'all gave us more and more space, and I was just like...
That was intentional.
Shit, I don't have enough to go. I'm happy, but...
I used just a white piece of paper, so I don't know. Okay.
How do you do it?
Right?
You don't care.
Yeah. But I did do it before I gave that speech last week.
Uh-huh.
I had to talk. I mean, it was a whim thing, and I gave a presentation on packaging, and... I did it, and I knew that there was another packaging guy there, so I was really nervous about it, and it helped me so much. And I did my flip back. I did all my bodies. I was awesome. I was feeling good.
Cool.
And I killed it. Yeah, it was awesome.
Great.
Way to go. I don't know. It really was helpful.
Awesome.
What were you going to say?
I found that as the week went on, it not only helped me to think, it helped me kind of be in the moment and to go, okay, I'm appreciating moments that I would have normally overlooked. I did that several times last week, especially when it comes to my kids, because it's so easy to get home in the afternoon and still be kind of connected to the phone, and Mike sent me 50 emails, and just
kidding.
Trello cards, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at that, I don't want to miss anything, and the kids all over me. I was like, no, put it down. Let's enjoy this moment. So I got so many more moments with my kids just doing small, little goofy stuff last week. One day I even, like, just... We cut out here at 4:30, I went home, grabbed him, we went to the park, we went to eat out, we went on a walk afterwards, and I just got all, it's like I was consciously trying to find more positive moments, and
yeah.
I think that's kind of the point, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Noticing them and trying to find them too and create them too.
Yeah.
For sure. Cool.
What,
so you guys liked it?
Else. Dusty, you were gone and you said that when you were here in the recording, you wanted to say something. Do you remember some of those somethings that you want to share?
Well, you started talking about cortisol.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh. I know all about that.
Stress hormone.
Hormones, stress, and what it does to you and all that, yeah. So that was one thing I thought, oh boy, they're probably really happy I wasn't there.
You were going to give us all shots of cortisol?
No, but I started 2 days late doing that routine. And I found that I was, maybe just the state I was in, I kept going to past things, like, being pregnant, nursing, things that I really enjoyed and loved during certain processes. And not as much today, except for little things with my kids, you know, time, like you, like Matt said, spending time with the kids. But one thing that I realized I needed was, even though you sent that little form on what to do with the body, I've never heard of that, and so I wanted to.
We're
going to
do.
Can you do it again?
We're going to do
the
whole thing.
Okay.
That's my thing. So okay. I'm going to go read. I'm going to do that thing.
That was it.
Cool. Yeah.
Anybody else?
I was just thinking, as I was going through kind of my positive things, and maybe I was in a negative frame of mind when I was going through my positive things. So I was trying to think, you know, of ways to flip, maybe, or, you know, do those kinds of things as I was going through my positive things. And sometimes I felt guilty just for, you know, I'm thinking of things that I'm grateful for, and I'm feeling guilty for being in a negative frame of mind. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. It sometimes it takes real focus, especially when you're in that place, to do it. And I find that it's just like reminding yourself, okay, I'm here to, mm-hmm. I'm here to find something, even the smallest thing positive, you know, positive. And usually, it starts really small. It's like something that's, you don't have much like emotion about. Usually, it's not about work, because work, we often have mixed feelings about, you know, unless we're riding this high of a lot of momentum, a lot of, you know, movement. Which this is kind of what that's about, is helping you create that space. But usually it's kind of like, it might be, I'm glad I got a good night's sleep. You know, it's great to, and I write that, that's one of my first things when I do get a good night's sleep. I'm like, I write that, because
sometimes that's a challenge for both of us.
Yeah, because sometimes I'm so excited and you know, I'm not respecting my rituals around sleep, which we're going to talk about in the next section. But yeah, it's just, The smaller the better, really. The smaller the better. I mean, it's like not the big, huge things. It's like if you can find. Remember, I mentioned like my socks. I liked my socks. They're comfortable.
Dusty didn't get that list.
She might have heard it though.
I didn't get your list, but I do remember you mentioned the socks.
Because it's like so small and random, but it's like for me, I was like, yeah, these are awesome socks. You know.
You went somewhere though, and you happened to look down and see them, and went, oh. Why
I was wearing them, and I was like, these are like cool because they're multi-purpose. I can wear them, you know, like all these different things. And I had like three or four things that I wrote about them because you want to milk it. When you find something, you want to milk it, right? And find all the different.
You like that term, milk it.
Yeah.
I do want to speak a little bit about that. Just because sometimes in our family of origin, we grow up, like I did, that we cannot relax and feel positive until we've gotten all our work done. And so when we start talking about emotional freedom technique, I did this huge session on myself because I was going, what's wrong with me? I just feel so out of it. I'm out of it. And I was just, I write sometimes and I don't know what's going on. And I came up with this core belief that I didn't deserve to feel positive and happy until everything was done. Of course, you know, it's never done. So just check yourself sometimes when you have any kind of stuff. Guilt is a big, one of those big feelings. And sometimes it goes back to other stuff, you know, that old programming. So just to be aware of that. I got rid of it.
Well,
I slept really good that night.
Yeah. I did find, you know, going through it, that I felt also the same, maybe as Matt was mentioning earlier, just appreciating more of the time, you know, that I had doing the things that I enjoyed.
Yeah, yeah.
In those little moments.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because this is all about mindfulness, and we haven't talked about that term, but there are whole courses on mindfulness, because what we hear, everybody out there is doing this, guys, it's not just us. Everybody's rushing. And then all you have is just this present moment. You have just this present moment. And then it's like, and then it's gone, then you have the next present moment. I'm not really good at that, so I'm working on that.
It's a process, right?
It's a process, yeah.
Cool. So you guys, did you took the saboteur test, right? You got your results from that?
I didn't, and maybe that is an indication of me being my own saboteur.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, did you just forget to do it, or you just didn't want to do it?
I postponed doing it.
Oh.
There's a saboteur.
Oh, okay, there's an avoider saboteur.
That's
right?
My number one,
by the way.
You're rocking it.
Yeah,
obviously they're not. Well, I thought I forgot you said you'd take it.
Okay.
I forgot to.
I can believe
that. Oh, well, do it, because that's so fun.
I did this first, remember?
Oh.
Yeah, I did too.
Oops, it was already done.
We were going to have you get with your accountability partner, but maybe we should hold that off next time. Maybe we'll show you with you our saboteurs, or if anybody feels like their top three, if anybody wants to share theirs. I mean, I'm okay with sharing my stuff with you guys.
I can share. I don't even know where they're at, but hang on.
Well, I got mine. My top was avoider.
Yes.
Then hyperachiever.
Mm-hmm.
And restless.
Yes.
That was restlessness?
Yes.
I can't read my mind. Yes.
Anybody else? If you have to, but if
and
you
we
want
to. And we need to talk to Scott a little bit more about helping to apply that and, like, understanding those, but do you feel like you can see how those kind of manifest in your life, how they show up in your life?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, so I, you know, try to, like, right now I'm completing another mailing for Money Mailer this week, so I have a lot of money to, at this point I'm realizing, wow, I really have avoided a lot of those collections that I needed to pick up with. I've got, you know, 14 grand outstanding that I need to collect, and I got 5 grand that I still need to make the payment, so I'm like, well, I really should have gotten around to this a bit sooner.
That's
like comes up on it. The hyperachiever one, I kind of set my goals. If I don't hit them, then that's where I get. I really kind of start to shut down. If I hit, you know, I've got to hit this. I got to do this. I got to hit these. I can hit these goals. And if I don't, it's like, you know, the world collapses. Which would have been my last Thursday because I didn't hit the goals I wanted. So it wasn't a good day for me.
Right.
So I kind of shut down a little bit. Then by Friday, everything turned around, and at the last minute, people were trying to jump back on board, and which created a whole other. Create a problem because it's last minute. Yeah,
right.
Like I need those logos. Sure, I'll send them over to you at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday.
Right.
Like, okay, great, awesome. And then restless. I think, you know, when I do my sales bit, I'm out. I go door to door. I'll hit like 20, 25 people in a day. I mean, I just literally just go door to door walking, and I'll hit that many people in a day, but I don't do my follow-up enough because for me, I have to keep moving on at something different, something different, something different. So I think I waste a lot of that energy because I just keep moving on to something different. I mean, instead of doing a follow-up and getting the sales results that I want, I'm out kind of just touching more people and meeting more people. And that was, and it's still a continuous problem that I've had. And also, I have 2 businesses, so if you can't, you know, get restless with one, I got to turn to the other one. And nothing gets like,
Cool. So did anybody else kind of notice, kind of think through how they might show up in your life?
It's our top three, right, on this show?
Yeah, want to share your top three.
Stickler, controller, and hyperachiever.
Interesting.
And I guess on the stickler side of it, I'm kind of OCD about stuff, so maybe that's it.
You know,
like, it's crazy. Living with my fiance now, I'm like, oh my god, you drive me crazy. I mean, it's very apparent because when you live by yourself, you're like, man, I got my life, but this is great. And now I'm like, ooh, things have a home, man. Go put him in the home.
Just keep reinforcing the stereotype.
And that's really like. I'm not kidding.
I've been on the other side of that twice.
Exactly.
So I'm really realizing that right now, and I don't know how to not be that way.
Well, right. So,
I mean, hygienically, there's things you gotta do and clean, you know.
So, guys, what we're doing is awareness.
It's all optional.
Sorry.
I'm with you.
Okay. I mean, and I think that's really. I don't know. Personal life. It's easy to be a stickler when you have a process in your business.
Right.
That's your process. Unless you're, you know, trying to be creative about something. But I don't know. That's my biggest one. Controller.
Cool. Well, yeah.
No, I was going to say that I think, I mean, I'll tell you mine real quick if you want to hear them. But my number one was pleaser.
Why did I get that?
I know Tom is going to come in from this section. Number two was hyper-rational, and number three was tied with stickler and restless. And I want to comment that I think many years ago, mine would have been stickler would have been number one, and controller would have been number two, and three would have been pleaser. And you would think that as you get older, it wouldn't change like that, but it's gone upside down.
Mm-hmm.
So I think some of that I hate to say with age that comes, it's just maybe different things like lifestyle, something comes into play, like this comes into play,
right?
It helps you. I think there are different things that come into play in life, but so don't think that's always going to be that way.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
I'm trying to let some things go.
We'll share some specific. Okay. I mean, that they.
How many
I think
different saboteurs are there?
There are.
I'm just curious.
10 or 12
around
there.
Nine, and the judge is the granddaddy, grandmommy of all.
Everyone has the
and
judge.
And everyone has one, guys. Even the most well-adjusted person, they have saboteurs.
Yeah.
But they establish, as we said in the reading, you know, nobody has a perfect childhood. You know, you do get knocked down a little bit. Your children will develop saboteurs. Don't feel guilty about it. They just will.
It's just the question is how strong are they?
The question how strong is it? How many tools you give them to be able to observe that in themselves and notice that? Because self-awareness is not something we build into schools, education, you know, other places. So. And it's a process. We don't want this to be an intellectual activity. When we do private coaching with somebody or, you know, somebody wants to go really deeper than this class, we can look at those and we can go, this is the way that's playing out for you right now in your business and in your life. So it's let it seep into you. You'll learn a lot of it in this class and just play with it. Remember, bumble your way through this and play with it.
And there are some specific techniques. I mm-hmm. think you know about EFT, right? Emotional freedom techniques. Someone was saying earlier that you've got some awareness of it. But that's something that we'll share with you probably in the last session. We'll start with that, and a lot of the bonus sessions will be around that, and it will show you really quick ways to shift when you're in the saboteur mode or when you're feeling really frustrated about that, how you can apply it to that. So
yeah, so it's like perfect. Really quick stuff that you can do.
You know, and the other thing is, like I mentioned before, about prevention too, about the more you can develop sort of the attitude of looking for things that are going well, positivity, the more you just kind of brush it off your shoulder. When you know, in other words, the saboteurs kind of rear their heads when you're under stress. They tend to be really strong when you're under stress, when you're tired.
Which is for you right now. You're going through a lot of stress. You're fixing, to use a nicer than term that I hardly use, to get married. And
right.
You've gone through a lot of stuff.
So they show up a lot more then. It's not like they're all...
Well,
when
you can't control somebody else, it's like, I know I can't control you, but
you want
please
to.
Listen to me.
Yeah.
Listen to my words.
Right.
Be married. Woohoo! Everybody in New Orleans is like, don't do it. What is this?
Cool. Do you want to jump into the flow stuff?
Yeah. I'm looking for my outline where I had it.
That's him.
Yeah.
That's not me. I'm not snoring.
Are you snoring?
It sounds like I'm snoring over here, but I'm not. Yeah, mine were. Like Caesar,
I had mine
stickler,
with some yellow,
and then avoider.
Okay.
I could see me in every one of them.
you can apply
it's
all
just
of
like,
these
oh,
to
okay.
yourself.
But not as bad as it says I am on some of those. Pleaser, yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. I'm going to jump in here because I've done this other training for years in schools and with parents and teachers, and it's all about the brain and the body and using the brain and accessing the brain. So. Let me just ask you, what did you understand about flow? What was a takeaway from you? More than just an intellectual words, what? How would you put it in your own words, Dean?
I was just going to say, I was really interested in the part that said, to paraphrase, that our state of flow really can't last any more than 60 to 90 minutes. And that really stuck with me for as far as getting into my flow, but also as far as... when you're working with other people, you know, when you're in meetings, when you are in presentations, when you're, you know, it made a lot of sense to me why people start getting brain overload and overwhelmed after a certain period of time. It's just like check out and it's over.
It's a physical thing, right? It's a biological
thing.
It's
a physical, biological
thing. You can't sustain attention for longer than 90 minutes is like the max, and that's even pushing it. Like, it's if you're really engrossed in something and you're flowing with it, 60 minutes is probably...
That's more accurate, and actually, when we get into the body, after 20 minutes, the muscles in the back of your body tighten up.
Yeah,
20
I remember
minutes
that
only.
From last time, so that was like...
So we're going to be up and moving today, and we're going to teach you some more moves for, specifically, for focus. Because if you're like me, I'm very like ADD, all over the place, I'm always having to deal with focus, always, everywhere. you know, he just kind of automatically kind of gets there. I have to do things. Yeah, he's just so.
Yeah.
What can I say? Anybody else about flow? Do you remember? Okay, so let me ask you this. When are you on flow during the day?
When I am not here.
Okay. When you're not at work.
Yeah. Whether it's a physical location or whether it's anything, to me it was about the outside, shutting out the outside.
Distraction.
You get people coming in your office all the time, or you're remembering somebody else you got to go talk to, or you're getting emails constantly, or whatever. That's just, it's impossible to get into a flow state that way. So yeah. I'm trying to do better about putting everything aside and focusing on just what's in front of me. And I noticed that in terms of that, the time limit of flow, that really depends on the task that I'm doing.
Because you're doing a lot of creative stuff.
Yeah, so if I'm editing,
yeah,
it may have a similar experience. If I'm editing, I can flow for a long time because it's almost a series of different little bitty tasks that you're getting into. If I'm
because it's automated for you, you're at the level where you're so automated that you've done it so long that you don't need to apply a lot of brain resources.
Or even the graphic design work I have to do within editing, I can sit down. And it's 4 hours later, like that.
Right.
It's crazy how that works. But if I'm writing, I got 20 minutes.
Right.
And it depends on what I'm writing, too. There's some things I'll get into.
It's true.
It depends on how full the brain bank is. If I'm trying to write, trying to come up with it, trying to create, then it takes, I got 20 minutes and then I'm over. But if it's the stuff is in here and it's just got to get out, it can go.
Vision.
Right.
Like that.
Wow.
Yes. So. That way I could write for 4 or 5 hours straight, and I end up flowing to the point where I'm crooked and my body's lurched up. But I don't even know it because it's still really depends on where your brain is and what your brain is doing.
Right.
Yeah, I've had times where I've been editing before, and 4 hours
goes by.
Now, from reading this, I don't know if, you know, at some point it went from a flow state to just hyper-focused where everything just...
Thank you for bringing that up, because we're going to talk about what really flow is. It's not being over-focused or under-focused, and I'm going to give you a little background on that. But any other last things about flow?
I think it's funny how you're, well, at least for me, I'm unaware of like, my body, almost. Yeah. You're just doing things. So there's, like, a disconnect between your emotions and actually doing the task. Like, if I have a phone call and I get into after the phone call, working on somebody's project, and I do it more in a creative state, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Is that the alpha wave thing? Mm-hmm. Your flow is your alpha?
Yeah, so the brain waves, great. Thanks for bringing that up. You know, we go flow in and out of different brain waves. While you're sitting here, you're going to leave and go off into alpha because something I said triggered something, and you go off and you think about that. And, of course, relaxed alertness, what you're probably cycling in more right now is beta. Interesting, high beta brainwaves is very stressed. So it's not good to be in high beta. And people with focus issues like ADD, ADHD, they actually produce a lot more alpha waves. They just walk through the world with more alpha. So these are the kids that are in school, they're always saying, pay attention, pay attention. But their brain waves are cycling a lot more and more alpha. And so a lot of people that are called ADHD are really creatives. They're creatives that are in alpha a lot. So, but the whole thing is to balance that so you can bring what you need to the task at hand, right? Yeah?
My daughter, that's her.
But wait, when we're children... We're totally an alpha.
Everything's alpha.
Everything. That's why, from the standpoint of the world of the child, everything is wonderment. Everything is wonderment. And they're not in, very rarely are they in beta. Wait.
Is that only when we force them into classroom situations?
Yes.
Okay.
And you know, that's why imaginative play is the child's task. And just, I'm not going to get on this bandwagon because that was my other practice. Schools are on the wrong track because we're forcing kids with worksheets, and what they really need to be doing is playing. And the schools in Denmark, they don't start official school until they're seven. They don't start teaching how to read, some schools, until they're six, when the ocular vision is ready for focus. Here we're giving, one more thing.
Great.
Here we're giving 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds worksheets. So if you have a choice, if you want to...
Does that depend on the kid, though? You can ask my daughter what she wants to do. I want to go to a workbook. She loves it.
There's some kids that will love that. But if you're interested in some of the material I'm talking about, this is called The Awakening the Child Heart, and it's by Dr. Carla Hanford. You're going to get a handout, and I'll put her name on the board, A Handbook for Global Parenting. And it's like the most wise, she's the most beautiful person how to explain what children really need. We think they need so much, you know, but what they need is to play. So, sorry, stepping off that soapbox. So, let me talk about the physical part of flow. Okay, so there's the mental state that we've been talking about, but here's some new research. It's the 1990s, it's not new. First thing, we've got cells in our body that communicate with our brain. And they're called neuropeptide cells. If you're interested in this, Dr. Candace Kirk, and her book is The Molecules of Emotion. Fascinating book. If you want to do a deep dive into this. Deep dive. But basically what she found is that she was doing research trying to find the neural tract for opiates. And what she found was, we used to think these neuropeptide cells were just in the brain. Of course, you know, your brain's there, you need those. And then we found them in the lymph system, right? You have a lymph system. And then she found that they're everywhere. In other words, the brain is all over the body. Your brain, we are one, guys, mind, body, soul. You know, it's like you can't just separate one. Your body is going to reflect flow. Because your brain is all over your body. And even though this cell right now, boom, is going to be gone, I'm going to wash it off, I'm going to shower tomorrow, whatever, the information that's in that cell gets transmitted to the cell that's taking over. It's pretty cool stuff, and there's a whole body of stuff that I can't even get into because we don't have time about the importance of that. But the importance for us right now is to realize you can use your body to get to flow. Because one reason is your brain's all over your body. It's housed here. Your brain's here. But connecting to that brain is this enormous, fabulous electrical transmission system going on all the time, all through your body. And kind of we've learned to kind of disconnect with that. Some people that are athletes, you know, are runners or, you know, they have a bigger connection. I was just like from here up all the time, you know, just study, be in my head. But, you know, through the training I've done in the schools, I've learned a lot about accessing through the body. Any questions about that?
I have a question about that, actually.
Yes, Matt.
I've thought several times as going through these exercises, they're telling you, stay more attention, focus on your body. How's your jaw doing? I feel it in my jaw. Are the cause and effect, can they kind of swap places? Like when I make myself relax the jaw,
yes,
all of a sudden then it can cause...
Yes, total.
Yes.
You can go two ways. You can, I'm going to share some resources with you. And this, you can get your mind to relax and your body will follow, or you can go to your body and say, please relax here. And then it's like we're connected. Thoughts are connected to the brain, okay? The second finding, thanks for bringing that up, and we're going to do a little exercise in a few minutes about you becoming more aware of where you hold tension in your body. The second interesting thing that was found was that the heart has a brain in it. The heart has the same neurochemicals and processing information that the brain has.
The physical heart?
Yes.
Okay.
So, in other words, there's stories of people who get a heart transplant, and they wake up and they crave Mexican food because they never liked Mexican food. In other words, there's information in the heart, and we used to think that the brain set the heartbeat, but it's the brain that sets, the heart that sets the brain wave. Okay? So this is really cool stuff. A lot of people don't know about this. In other words, let me see what... I want to make this simple. I have a bunch of stuff here, but we need to kind of move on just to finish everything. You know, you can read the electrical energy of your head, right, with EEGs. You can read the electrical energy of the heart and EKGs, but there's another measurement that's kind of complicated. It measures the coherence of the heartbeat. And I'm going to give you a handout done with, I put holes in, I finally got smart. Like, you might want to put this in your notebook. Every feeling that you feel, the feeling, your heart's feeling it, your brain's feeling it, your body's feeling it, there's something called coherence, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that, Jeff. If you want to pass that down, because Josh doesn't have one. And...
Sorry, I thought you knew this stuff.
I thought so too.
So, if you're just interested in that, this is just called a heart rate variability, HRV. When you're feeling appreciation, like when we ask you to start writing your list of gratitude and appreciation, your heartbeat goes into a coherent heart rate. In other words, incoherent means you've got all this little jagged stuff going on, like frustration or stress. Coherent is a very nice beat. And you know what that's doing to your brain? It's making your brain go into nice brain waves, where you have access to information, your memory is better, you have your creative problem solving is better, but it starts at the heart. It starts at the heart. So, coherent versus incoherent. And you guys have been around people that are living there all the time. Incoherent. You feel they're frenetic, kind of frantic, kind of, you know, if you get sensitive about this, you'll feel attracted to certain people that just like, when you're in their presence, you feel this kind of, they have a coherent heart wave. Well, the other interesting thing about this is the heart energy, the electrical pattern of the brain goes out just a few inches, you know. The pattern from the electrical energy that you interpret with all those neuropeptide cells on your body from other people goes out as much as 14 feet.
Well, say that again, the difference. A few inches from that.
This is just the electrical activity produced by the brain is just a few inches out. Okay. We don't, you know, I can't, I don't know what's going on.
And the skull kind of deadens it?
Probably. But the electrical energy that's coming from your heart, which is a real thing that's measured by instruments, travels out like as much as 14 feet. That's why when you go into a room, you might be at a networking event or a party, you find yourself drawn to certain people and other people you're not drawn to. It's the unconscious reading from your heart of other people's, the heartbeat, the coherent heartbeat. Are you getting this?
So you're saying it's the heart rather than the energy that those people are putting out.
Well,
so it's not their ethereal body. It's...
Well, let's just talk plainly from a scientific point of view. Plainly, because I'm not going into ethereal and all those other things.
Yeah,
I'm just
metaphysical.
I'm just talking plainly from a scientific viewpoint. Okay. We can measure this HRV, and your body, because you have these neuropeptide cells, picks it up and transmits it to your brain unconsciously, milliseconds, like boom. And all of a sudden, you start your behavior, you know. And this is what we call partly intuition. You get this gut feeling about somebody. You might be in a situation and you go, oh, no. Something's telling me right now. Children have this innately. And there's been a research study where, it's kind of crazy, I don't know how they did this. Children were playing at a park. And the parents were here, and there was a child molester that walked through the park. All the children left and went to their parents.
Wow.
All the children left and went to their parents. What we've done is train ourselves away from this intuitive feeling that we get. So this is the basis of fabulous stuff. And if you really get into and interested in this, this whole book is about how to establish coherence for your children. How to help them become coherent human beings so that they don't lose that connection and they are able to navigate in a different way. Yes?
This is it's very similar to how animals kind of pick up on
animals
the same thing. I mean, animals will... All of a sudden you have a golden retriever who is the sweetest golden retriever in the world, and she just goes after some random guy you have in your house who's working on something. Turns out that guy's a convict who's going to steal and rob you blind.
Right, yeah. So animals and children are always connected to this. And then we learn somehow through our experiences. Nobody talks about this. Parents don't talk about it. Teachers don't talk about it. Eventually they just kind of shut down and you know, they're not aware of it. So if you're interested in that, that's Dr. Carla Hannaford. And the name of the book is right on the top of the handout, Awakening the Child Heart.
That's that book you have right there?
Yes. And I'll, if anybody wants to look at it or borrow it or whatever, you're welcome.
Now, if you're in the, if you're feeling coherent and you're around someone who's incoherent, does their state influence yours, yours influence theirs? I mean,
yes. But there's research in schools. If a teacher has a coherent heart wave and they walk by a child, the child will entrain to the teacher. So if you're strong in where you are, some people you can't do this with, but with children it's easier. They will start, their heartbeat will start becoming more coherent. Okay? So flow is, that's a physiological basis of flow, is a little bit more of a deeper understanding that you've got this flow state is not just happening up here when you're feeling great. It's happening all over your body. And it's your heart that's the main leader in that, not the brain. And I could go on forever, but I'm done with that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and I need you to watch the time because...
All right, let's do a note on managing the body.
Yeah.
All right.
We good?
Yeah.
Let's talk about over-focus and under-focus. You have a more at-home feeling of whether you're over-focused on something or under-focused, and sometimes we switch in and out of... we don't have time to go into your brain dominance, but your brain dominance will also determine whether you're more over-focused or under-focused. So if you look on the sheet, on the page that we have that has under-focus and over-focus,
72,
73, just kind of look down the over-focus state and the under-focus state. And just kind of share in the group maybe if you hang out on one side or not, or just certain tasks you go into over-focused or you're under-focused.
Looking at this, I'd say I tend to be under-focused.
Right.
A bit.
Okay. Okay.
I'm the opposite.
And you're over-focused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm over.
Definitely over.
Definitely over.
Both. I can find times in them both.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
And yeah. Anybody else?
Yeah, I can find times in them both.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm just not.
We're sitting here.
Absolutely. And you know, we mentioned serial procrastinators, people who always procrastinate. There's something that's what they've learned, that they cannot work until they give themselves so much stress that they go into overfocus. And then they have adrenaline and cortisol flooding through their body.
So they never really get into
a
flow state.
It's not flow.
Straight from under-focused to crap, I got this deadline, and now it goes over-focused.
That's what I do.
That's what you do?
I think
when I'm like almost caught up on my projects, which I am right now, I don't feel the need to work on things I need to work on because I'm like,
yeah.
Until it's like, until I get somebody that's,
Well, it's just so,
I don't feel like
Deanne,
to push
what you said.
It.
Oh, that's exactly how I am.
Yeah.
I get that way. And I've often justified it by saying I work better under pressure.
Yeah.
That's a word we all use.
Yeah. But I mean, I really feel like when I'm under the gun, I get things done faster. And it's almost like it's because that looming deadline is there.
Yeah.
And I know I've got to get it done before there. And I think, too, that goes back to kind of being a stickler or a perfectionist. And I will work way too hard and way too long on something trying to get every detail right. But if I'm under pressure, I just get it. I just turn it out.
I love the way you connected that with your with your saboteur. Because that's one way perfectionists deal with perfectionism. Mm-hmm. Because they're so hard on themselves. Mm-hmm. Then they procrastinate, and then all of a sudden, well, hell, I've only got 30 minutes. Man, I better just, you know, crank this out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's... Now I hope you're understanding that it's not a flow state.
Right.
Oof. It's not a flow state.
Right.
But it's a learned behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It's learned. We learned this, you know, somewhere. Anybody else want to say something? You're pretty quiet.
How often would you say you're in flow? How often would you say that? I mean, do you think you regularly every day? Like, you saw that about 20% of people... Only 20% of people experience flow once a day, on average.
I think now
that
I'm at home, I'm in flow a lot more than I used to be.
Because when you're in the office, you were...
Yeah. I mean, when I'm out doing appointments or meetings, you know, I'm not. But when I'm at home, I mean, I can just get to see everyone more relaxed.
When we were smaller, I was in flow quite often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now,
Yeah, it's interesting, actually. That's the video that Vishen Lakshiani talked about. He's got a company called Mind Valley, and he said that he didn't believe in any of this stuff in terms of how the mind affects your performance and your ability to focus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was kind of like a real doubter on it. And he said that he went to training, and the training taught him basically, in essence, how to be present, number one, and how to... appreciate where you are now and get excited about where you're going in the future, which is kind of the ultimate state for you to be in, is just like accepting and appreciating where you are now and also being like, oh, this is awesome. What's coming is really cool. And after that training, he shows the chart of where his business went. It was kind of going like this. And what happened is before he was just under all this stress and working under all this stress. And he thought that's what you do when you build a business, right? You know, that's just the MO of, you know, that's what you have to accept. But this taught him how to get out of that stress mode and build in rituals, which, you know, we're going to talk about in the next session for getting out of that. And did you see the chart of where his business went? It was like...
I mean, it was dramatic.
To,
we can send you that link.
That chart itself will scare you when you're in growth mode. Because growing your business, I'll go ahead and tell you, from the past 2 months, it's that in and of itself is stressful.
It's stressful to grow your business.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that? His,
no, I haven't seen that. I'm just telling
you. If anybody wants it, we can put it on the resource page and you can watch
it.
I'll listen to the rituals. Mm-hmm. I'll be changing this.
Yeah. Right. We'll get there.
We're going to start talking about some of that today, right now. But the rituals is really powerful.
A lot of it's in your head, man.
What's that?
So a lot of it's in your head. You're creating unnecessary.
I would debate that a lot of it's when that office door gets knocked on and calls.
Yes. So, Josh, you want to go and tackle the next part?
Well, you're going to talk about the body.
Oh, yes, the body. Cool. This is a perfect segue. Of course, I wasn't very focused right then, so I thought Josh was supposed to talk. But y'all are used to my right brainwaves, right, by now? So I want you to think about your stress, okay? Because we're going to do some movements that help you connect. And I actually want you to put yourself in your stress place, in your mind. Just like go to that place.
We don't want to.
Oh, no.
I want you down
here.
We're going to get you out of it. We're going to get you out of it.
Go to my stress place.
Actually, I don't want you to sit. I don't want you to sit because I don't want you to clue sitting with your stress place. Go off somewhere in the room. It can be anywhere. I'm going to lead you.
I'll never be again.
But remain within earshot. Because I want you to find a place where you're at that stress, and we're gonna build a little bit of awareness right now. I want you to she's nothing in her head. Okay. So pay attention to your body. Put your hand on the place in your body that you feel the most tension. So I'm observing that because I want to see where it is. Low back, neck, anything else? Shoulders? Yours is on your chest? Edwin's has his own.
I'm just trying to observe, right?
Yeah. Okay, you observe Edwin because I can't see him. Now, notice your breathing. Are you breathing shallow? You kind of shut off from that deep breathing that we practice. I want you to pay attention. Some of you have noticed your shoulders are tight. Notice your low back, because these are the areas of tension. If you have it, put your hand. Notice your low back. Is it tight? Now, your knees. Are your knees locked? Do you feel tension from your knees? That's the third area that we get locked down. All right. I want you to notice your jaw, because the jaw has the most neural connections than any other place. So put your tension on your jaw. Because many times during the day, we clench, and we're walking around with clenched teeth, clenched mouth. Okay. Now, do your best. And this is, if you have back issues, take care of it. Lean over and just see how far you can touch on your legs. Just gently. If you need a bit, you know, lean. How far can you go down? And, all right, so cool. Come back up. I'm checking this area, how far you can go. And now, turn your head to the right. Turn it to the left. And notice how far you can go. Can you go farther on one side than the other?
Yes.
And
yes.
One side it's harder to do. Okay. I want you to track your eyes, because all this affects your eyes. So just let your eyes move from right to left to right to left and then up and down. Do your eyes feel tight? My eyes feel very tight right now. All right. So check inside now. Think of your thoughts. Are your thoughts like kind of calm, but are they like kind of
all over the place?
They're all over the place. Are they like just jittery?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Put your hand on your heart. I mean, we're talking about a coherent heartbeat here. You're not going to be able to sense it, but I'm just drawing your attention to how important that heartbeat is when to set those brainwaves. Okay, so in your mind, give yourself a number for the level of stress that you have. Just keep that in your mind. Okay? Got it? All right. We're going to do some pace. So if you brought some water, grab a sip of water.
Can you grab a fly swatter when you guys go? There's this poisonous insect in here that I would like to kill.
Can we go ahead and knock it out before we get going?
Oh, wait. She just smashed it.
I'm allergic to bees and things.
Oh, yeah. Well, she smashed it.
And we have in our house.
Oh,
I hate them.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Animal killer here.
Yeah, that's fine. So get a sip. Give you a little hint, guys. When you're stressed, your body needs 50% more water. 50% more water. We just don't drink enough water. So the first part of pace, get some water.
I left my water outside, sorry.
Do you want Josh to bring
yeah, if you got one. Bring
Cynthia a glass of water, Dave. I mean, whatever your name is. Josh, I call my kids their dad's name, the dog's name.
Whatever comes.
There you go, Cynthia.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And you don't have to chug. You don't have to chug water. A little bit of water tells your brain, oh, okay, I've got some water going. Just a sip. You can sip, and it's good. And as a reminder, Dusty, any water with flavoring in it gets triggered and gets digested first. It does the oxygen molecules just doesn't get into your bloodstream as fast. So clean, clear water.
That's a question. We do a lot of carbonated water with a tiny bit of lemon in it. Is that the same thing, you think? Or
I mean, it's not as fast, but, you know, people...
It's not a Diet Coke.
It's not a Diet Coke. Yeah. So, first thing, now, find your brain buttons. Remember, go to your collarbone and go slightly below. You'll feel an indentation right there. And when we do, some of these points that we're teaching you today are points that we use in emotional freedom technique. These are called brain buttons, so put your hand on your belly. Now, did you hear that deep breath I took? Because I've taught this class so many years, as soon as I put my hand on my belly, it goes to... I go into abdominal breathing. Well, just allow yourself, just feel your belly expanding out. Ladies, do not suck your gut in. We've been taught to go around like all the time. This is, I'm giving you permission. Let it hang out. Let it hang. Move your fingers around. These are neurovascular points. And I always kind of switch my hand around and go, I can switch my hand. You probably went up there with your dominant hand. Make sure you have material on your skin, Deanne, because it kind of rubs.
It does.
Yeah. So those are your brain buttons. Take a deep breath again. Put your hand on your belly. Take a deep breath. I want us to practice that breathing.
I think I'm in chorus again.
Yes. One of the fastest things you can do when you're under stress and you can't stop and do this is abdominal breathing. It starts switching off the cortisol and adrenaline. It's just, you're driving and all of a sudden you're going, oh my gosh, you're going to be late. Oh, I got this. Just go. Big breath. Okay? So now we're going to do cross. Cross over. Now, remember, we've got that band of tissue that connects both hemispheres, the corpus callosum, and one side of the body is controlled by one hemisphere. We're just getting stuff to cross over both hemispheres. And so, guys, you know, I hang out on the right hemisphere all the time, like Edwin and Matt and some other people. I'm like, oh, I'm an idea person, and I'm not very organized. So when I need to bring my left hemisphere online, I do this. I did this in the bathroom before I came in. I was feeling kind of a little just fragmented, so I went in the bathroom and I did my pace. You can do it at any time. You can do it behind your body. That's another, if you can touch. I can't touch my legs, my feet. Okay, the last one. The last one is, remember you can do the seated or standing. Cross your legs if you have trouble with balance. You can sit, put your hands in front, bring them together, pretzel up. Put your tongue on the roof of your mouth.
How did you do that again? I was trying to show my husband, I couldn't remember it.
Yeah. Then bring your palms in together like this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretzel up.
Yeah.
If people have joint issues or are with little kids, I just go say hello to your armpits. Little kids. Boom, boom. Okay, this is incredibly fabulous.
My brother still does it.
Yeah.
For just getting yourself calm and relaxed. I don't have time to go into all this stuff that's happening. Keep your breathing going. You can step out of that and switch and do the other side if you want.
This helps so much with doing my presentation.
Yes.
I can't even explain. I was like, I'm sitting in my chair like, just like this, and these ladies next to me are going to look at me. I'm like, okay. And then I just kept my fingertips connected after I was done with it.
Yeah.
So it was helpful.
So, when you come out, uncross, keep your fingertips together. Thank you, Sarah, for that reminder. We've just connected the hemispheres and everything. We want that both hemispheres on go. And now, all right, so we're going to teach you a few others. But for right now, how is the place in your body that was still tight? Is it better?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How are your thoughts?
Calm.
A little bit calmer, more organized. How is your stress level?
Did it go down?
Did it go down? Did the number go down?
Which?
Absolutely. Oh yeah.
Unreal.
Anybody want to share from where to where?
Yeah.
From where to where?
I was from at least an 8 or 9. Mm. And it's way down now.
Okay.
I was like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know the number, but I know there was one task that I have to do later that I was just kind of, I've been avoiding, not wanting to dive into it. But I was in the thought of that task right now. I was like, all right, let's dive into this. Mm-hmm. Let's get into that.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Much better about that.
That's awesome.
So Josh is going to teach some of his favorites for focus, because that's the thing that we lose the most when, you know, you sit for a long period of time. We need to help the back of the body.
It's very simple stuff. Let's do a quick test, pre-check first.
Right.
My favorite one is what's called an arm activation, because I get a lot of tension in my shoulders, and so I'm sure a lot of you do too. Just kind of extend your arms out in front, and notice, are your arms probably about even? Both hands, fingers about on the same level?
Yeah.
Is that about right? All right, cool. Remember that for what we're about to do. Now you're going to extend your arm all the way up to the ceiling, just like straight out from your side. Straight out from your side all the way up. And
pull out from your arm.
Pull out from, like, yeah, your
kind
arm.
Kind of from.
Yes, all
yeah,
the way
exactly.
Up.
All the way up. Mike's too tall.
I can't.
And then, so you're going to hold that for about 8 seconds, and then you're going to gently push in all four directions and kind of get resistance on your arm and go the other way. So you kind of gently, it's called activation, kind of activating your
it's
arm.
It's isometric.
Isometric, right? For about eight seconds, usually each direction, so let's say it's been about eight.
You want your arm to apply counter pressure?
Counter pressure. You're pushing underneath your elbow. Not at your elbow. Underneath your elbow.
Yeah, underneath your elbow.
And then your arm's going forward, your hand's pushing back.
So then you might change, so you're pushing out from the inside and then in the other way. And just to a count of eight. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then I like to do behind the back like this and pull it in, so you're kind of getting all the directions.
Go below your elbow, okay?
Six,
below.
7, 8, and then in, and then straight forward from the back, and the same kind of counter pressure. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
And then, I like
to just end it with a little bit of an extra stretch. All right, now put your arms out, and notice if your arms are different.
Oh, my
ways.
Lord.
Excuse me.
Yeah, do you
yes,
notice the difference?
Yes.
Weird.
Oh, weird.
That is the amount of tension that you carried in that shoulder, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Are they not supposed to be the same length?
No, because the other one is still tight, right? The other one you haven't done.
So you've released a lot of this.
So mine sometimes
is
like 3 inches different.
Yeah.
You probably will notice that, right?
So we want to do the other side?
Yeah, you want to do the other side.
You don't
want to
leave wonky.
Said, right?
Yeah. Can you do this on the wall, too?
Sure.
Like,
you know,
really gross against?
Yeah, you could. I find it to be enough just to do it in the air, if you want to.
Just
sometimes
reach,
I do this, too. But
reach up out of your waist. There's a real difference to reach up out of your waist. Because you're really letting go of all these things.
Yoga.
It's almost like yoga, right? Just like a one that you can do at work, though, without a yoga mat and all that, right? All right,
and then
we'll
just go
this.
Through the whatever you
one,
want,
two,
directions you want to do.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And 8 is just a, you don't have to do it to 8 necessarily. But
well, it takes... Yeah. 8 seconds for the brain to know you want to lengthen that muscle.
All right, so you do have
also,
to do 8.
It takes 8 seconds for the Golgi tendons to release.
Yes.
Is that right?
The Golgi tendons are good. He knows all about that, the athlete. And so when you have somebody tell you to do this stuff, don't do it. Somebody who says pump and, you know, go and go up and down and all that in exercise classes, you're telling your brain, your muscles to shorten. Really, what you want is lengthening, and you want it to keep it lengthened.
5, 6 is the last way, and then a little bit more. You should notice that they're about even after when you check it again, right? So that was,
no doubt.
And then they'll be longer than they were
before.
Right? Both of them are kind of crazy, right?
Yeah.
Every time we do that, I'm like, God, it's a lot of tension in my shoulders.
Didn't even know I had it.
Yeah, no, you don't
didn't
even notice it,
that
right?
One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do it my spine, I'd be sick.
Yeah. I've been trying that for a long time.
So a lot of people have their hands on their necks.
Yeah, so we do something called the owl. And so basically, you're gonna reach over onto the top of your shoulder and grab the muscle, the belly of the muscle, right? So kind of right in the middle of the belly of the muscle. Not really tight, but tight enough to where you can feel it firm. And then you're going to go from you start on the side that you're grabbing, and then breathe out as you're looking to the right. So you're going to start just gradually breathing, going to the right.
breathing going the other way, kind of just back and forth a few times. And you might notice the muscle starting to release a little bit as you're doing it.
And the reason it's called owl, because we'd show kids in school to use this, and the owl perches, when I tell the whole story, the owl perches on a tree, and, you know, so they're all kid-friendly names.
We'll call it The Exorcist and see how far back.
Go to the other side.
Grab it.
And if you're not sure after class, if you're not sure how deep you should be doing it, I'll show you.
Just to the point before you start feeling pain. You don't want it to be painful.
Right.
Just before that. Okay, that's probably good.
Now let's just do a little pre-check. Do you remember how far you could turn your head before?
Yeah.
Turn your head now and see if it made a difference.
This side of my head is longer than the other side.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the pace helps you good, but if you're still carrying tension, some of these things will help you get more into flow.
What were the other ones?
The gravity glider?
Yeah.
Or?
So this one, you can do standing. I think it's better if you're sitting.
Yes. Well, let's do all the standing ones then. What else did you want to teach?
The Brandon, the space buttons and the earth buttons.
Yeah, let's do that.
So this is really simple. These are actually, you're going to see these points later on, right above the lip and right on the chin, as they're the tapping points that we're going to share with you guys later on. But these are neurovascular points, and they help with relaxation, and they help with centering and focus. So these are usually taught as separate things. You do this, you do this. I just kind of like to rub right like this, above and below. And then again, put your hand on your belly and breathe. This actually, when I'm about to do anything creative, when I do this, it helps me just really assemble my ideas and get organized with my ideas in my head.
And
then on the lower back, too.
And go right back here. This is called sacrum area.
Tingly. It's weird.
What?
It just got tingly.
Yeah, you feel a little tingly, yeah.
If I have time, I'm going to show you something really cool about this. When we work with people individually, like we did with you guys, and Scott, I don't know if I should do this. This is something really cool, but you have to tell me if we have time.
I can't see the clock right now.
But remember those neuropeptide cells? Okay. We're accessing some stuff in the body when we're doing this, okay? And there's something else, too.
Anything else, Danny, that we want to do?
Well, you mentioned calf pump. How many of you had tight knees? And did anybody feel tight knees?
Mine were locked.
Locked. You know,
I think this one actually helps both, the gravity glider.
The gravity glider.
Let's just do that.
The calf pump is just against the wall, but do not go like that. Remember, all you're doing is tightening the muscle, just like lengthening out the back of your leg. But the gravity glider,
this one's one of my favorites, because hamstrings are one of the first things to tighten up, especially when you're sitting for a long time. So you just, it's probably a stretch you've seen before. You just sit on the kind of the edge of your chair, cross your legs in front of you, kind of extend them all the way, and then you're just going to lean forward gently.
Mm-hmm.
And try to relax your lower back as you're doing this, too. Don't keep it really tight. This will actually relax both your hamstrings and your lower back. You can do it standing, too, if you don't want to sit down. And just breathe.
Breathing.
All of these is important. Cool. And then just switch your legs really quickly to get the other side. And do the same thing. Just kind of straight, you're going to extend your arms just straight forward. Straight out. Alright. Cool. You feel like
do you do this like every morning?
Not necessarily. I don't do all these every morning. These are what we're showing, like the full range of what you can do.
Okay.
We're going to send you a PDF on this.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I would just check in. The more aware you are of where your tension is, the better, though, because tension in the back of your body in any way will limit your ability to focus, and it'll make it just kind of that fog in your brain where you just can't think as clearly.
Okay.
So the arm activation, I do that almost every day. Pretty much every day, because I always have tension in my shoulders,
mm-hmm.
and it really helps me. It's a big difference. But you know, some of the other ones, it just depends on, you know, how my body's feeling.
Okay.
So. And you, when we get into positive rituals, you'll discover and create some positive rituals for yourself. We have things we do every time before we start working.
Okay.
Because we've learned if we don't do these things, he'll know I'm all over the place if I don't do these things. And I'll know he's like over-focused, like yeah. centering on one little detail, which is like, get off of that. So we have, we just, the cool thing is flow happens easier when you have access to both hemispheres, both sides of your body, and when your body's relaxed.
Cool. The other section we talked about was managing your mind. And this one we kind of wanted to keep it simple. We obviously talked about managing your emotions too, but we talked so much about kind of different things. The pace activity, especially this, is a really good way of centering yourself if you're feeling some stress about a situation like you guys experienced. So that in terms of using your body to manage your emotions, that's one of the fastest ways to do it. But you know, we're going to show some other techniques later on too.
Just a little aside, I would start, if you have meetings with somebody, I would start every meeting with pace, if they're open to it.
Yeah.
That's every meeting.
Be a lot more focused.
Because you're going to have people that are off somewhere. They're not present. And you're going to have people that are hanging out on the right hemisphere. La, 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 la. I'm in la, la, la land a lot. Then you're going to have people over here like, I got to get this done. When are they going to get it started? I can't believe it. Let's get going. So you need everybody in a state of relaxed, you know, not high beta, not totally la la land and alpha, but somewhere in between high alpha, low beta waves. And pace gets you there.
Cool. So the major one about, okay, there's, we want to hand out another little resource for you guys. The major thing about managing your mind, so remember those 60 to 90 minute blocks of time that we talked about? I think it's a really good practice to get into before you start that block, and this is on your worksheet, to set an intention for what you want to achieve during that block of time, right? Because what often happens is we find ways to distract ourselves, we kind of forget what we're doing. There's a, we'll talk about this with managing your environment too, but social media, email, those are kind of the, what someone said, social media, email, and news sites and that kind of stuff, and texting, those are like the Bermuda Triangle of productivity, right? Like that's where productivity goes to die, and those things. So, but when you set an intention beforehand, and it's really specific, and it's really clear in your mind what you want to do in this block of time, there's actually a part of your brain called the reticular activating system that lights up, that activates, and it makes everything you do a lot more intentional, a lot more purposeful, and it helps you with managing those distractions. So, we've, let me,
What time is it?
How are we doing on time?
1:10.
1:10? Oh, good. We'll have a little time to show you something.
Let's turn to the page of your worksheet where that is. That's on page
77. Managing your mind.
Yeah, it's at the actual worksheet pages.
Oh,
it's on
the checklist for flow. So page 84. All right.
Oh, this is awesome.
Yeah. So basically, we want you to look at. You can either make copies of this, or I can include it as an extra sheet. We want you to do this. This is an awareness activity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you noticing something already?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to stare a hole in the map.
You're right. No, I like it. I like it.
Yeah, so
for me.
So this is a checklist. Basically, you say, if any one of these areas is off, your focus will probably be off, right?
And your flow is
And your flow will be off. And so you can print this out. I'll upload this to the website. It's a resource.
Absolutely.
What's that?
Mike's saying he's already coming up with what he needs to do.
It's going to be a sign on my door that says, "Don't mess up my flow."
Why don't you fill your checklist out and stick it on your door?
Flow
so
in
you
process.
Know you've done
flow
your
in process.
flow
in progress.
Right, and that means everything can wait.
All trespassers will be shot.
I interviewed with Franklin Covey out in Utah, and they actually had things on their door that were I'm in fourth quadrant.
Yes.
Interesting. Really?
Yeah. So they actually
recalculated.
Yes, I have recalculated.
That's their framework, and
that's their working. We talked about that at the new office. Having, we call them prolific hours. We can call them flow hours.
Yeah. Yes.
Where at this time. Your people are in flow, just stop it.
Yes,
don't.
No interruptions.
Yeah,
that's
no
a team. That's a team-wide thing, and you can do it. And the individual thing, if you need time, just train people around you when I have this thing on my door,
yeah,
you know, unless it's an absolute emergency, don't interrupt me because I'm right. in the middle of flow.
Well, and this is why people wonder, why can I never get you on the phone?
Yeah.
Well, it's because the phone is a stupid way to connect with people. So basically, you call me, I've got to interrupt what I'm doing, interrupt my flow, and talk to you, stop everything I'm doing, or I've got to get your message, call you back, you'll be busy, and play phone tag forever. I'm like, why don't we just send emails, stop
right.
calling.
Right, for sure.
Well, but that's you training people.
No.
Well, that's you training people.
And obviously,
even your clients.
That's why I put it in the proposal.
Put your phone in a different room, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they absolutely have to get in touch with you, they'll find a way to get in touch with you by calling someone else or, you know, if it's an absolute emergency.
Mm-hmm.
But don't give them the opportunity to distract you if you really need to be in that flow time, right?
Yeah.
I thought this was incredibly rude when I did it, but I was like, I have to for my sanity, but I've got it in my email signature now. It's like, do you want to schedule time with me? And I paid for one of those premium scheduling systems, and it's hilarious now that my random requests have gone way down, and people will start filling out that form, or they won't do it at all.
Mm.
So, like, well, if you can't take the time to click this link, then don't.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
Absolutely. It sounds rude, but at the same time, it's like you can't. You
so
get
much time, yeah.
30 clients. They can't all expect to get you to stop what you're doing and answer the phone
right,
at any
yeah.
time.
Right.
Really.
Well, I mean, you said that at workshop. Well, you saw me at the beginning of this. She even commented this morning. About three, when we started this, I was going to kill somebody. Like, I really was. But that, I've got to get this under wraps.
Right.
And I was like, you either be rude about it, or you just take the brunt of the stress.
Whoa, let's just reframe that. It's not rude to give people boundaries.
Firm.
Okay,
right.
Firm.
You're just
firm.
Giving, you're just being firm. And it's you're protecting your energy. We're going to get
mm-hmm.
into that.
Mm-hmm.
You only have so much energy.
Well, some people respond well to email, but other people don't interpret.
Exactly.
As a guy who's been called a smartass on occasion, that type of humor doesn't go over well through email. You know, so there's certain things that just email.
Well, it's
isn't
a generation thing too. I'm in sales. I work with a lot of people that are twice my age, and they're
mm-hmm.
like, "We don't do that. Like, if you want my business,
yeah, that's
true. So in sales mm-hmm. you kind of have to." And I'm, you know,
yeah.
don't measure people by the phone if you. Choose
well,
not to do
no.
it either. I mean, that's
and
I feel that way.
Does too. If you work with someone, if you're in sales, then it's just constant. You're on the phone. That's your
yeah,
job. Is contact. But for
yeah.
those of us who
right.
are producing things, it's
right.
like stop calling.
Yeah.
Cool. So hopefully that checklist will serve you. I will upload that to the website so you can print it off. We recommend that you do this at least once a day. Just it's an awareness thing, right? It's not that you don't have to actually fill it out. You can print it out once and just look at each question. The last one's really important, right? Write your intention for what you want to achieve in this block of time.
Say you leave this meeting and you have a task to do. You have a task. You got something you need to do. You're going to say, I'm going to give myself 60 minutes to do this. I'm going to set a realistic goal. Josh hasn't talked about this, but
yeah.
a lot of times we put too many things on our list. So we have these open loops all the time. Oh my God, I didn't get that done. I didn't get that done. I'm non-productive. And what you do is you set up the brain to go into the stress mode. It's like, pick one thing.
And if you've got a big project, chunk it down into something that's realistic for this hour.
We have a handout
so,
for that, too.
Do we?
Yes, Brendan's handout.
Oh, yeah. Good, awesome. So chunk it down and, you know, it's way better to overproduce on what you've identified than it is to get way, you know, say you're going to do way too much
mm-hmm.
and do a third of it, right? It's way better to just say, when you finish something, and if you finish it in half an hour because you're so focused, awesome. Either take a break or move on to the next thing, you know, re-identify another intention that you've set. But that's how you really get a lot done in a short period of time, is that intense focus, that intense flow, move on to the next thing. Does that make sense?
And there's on page 82 and 83, we want you to evaluate what's happening. Where are you bleeding time and energy?
We mentioned this to, we chatted briefly with Mike and Matt at the end. Do you guys check your email? When do you check your email?
All day long.
All day long?
Mm-hmm.
First thing in the morning, usually?
As soon as it goes off, I'm on.
When I hear my phone go,
exactly.
So, Brendan Burchard is the guy that we've kind of followed in terms of building our expert business. He's talks about, if you check your email within the first 30 minutes to an hour, you'll have 30% less productivity over the course of the week. Because, this is a great quote. Let me hand out this
I gave them all to you, yeah.
I want you guys to read the quote at the bottom.
At the bottom.
It's so true.
Let me have some.
Let me get this way.
He says, beware of your inbox.
Wait till everybody gets up. Right. Just give them time.
Yeah, I'm just so excited.
Hold on,
so excited. I'm so excited.
Set it down.
In terms of flow of our path, is that a question? This seems to be more manageable. Instead of trying to schedule your day, that's my problem, is I schedule a day and I overload it. But if you say, okay, during this day I'm going to have these three flow periods, these four flow periods,
yeah.
and right before each flow period, okay, I'm going to schedule this flow period,
yes.
that seems more manageable.
More manageable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then this is more like handling projects.
So
look at this.
This is an optional thing. You guys don't have to do this for this week. If you find that it is helpful, I recommend, it's something I've done from time to time and it has helped me. You just basically, before you jump into email, right, before you do anything else, you identify, if you have two or three projects you're working on, you kind of list out the priorities for what you have to do. This is key. He writes the people he needs to reach out to today, via email, via phone, people that he's waiting on for something else in order to move a project forward. And then, right here at the bottom, the priorities, the things that you want to accomplish no matter what today, right? Then when he only checks his email twice. I've gotten into the habit of doing that a lot better, and it's really
yeah.
helpful. He checks it once in the morning.
Really?
In the morning, he reaches out to the people he's waiting on stuff for, right? So he says, hey, what's the status on this? Hey, can you get this back to me? I really need it. He does not go and respond to he doesn't get into other people's agendas for his time, right? What other people want for his time. Obviously, if you're in sales and that's your job, this might be a little bit different, right, in terms of how you do it. But and then he basically tackles all these priorities. He jumps right into his day after he's reached out to those people. At the end of the day is when you can start getting into other people's worlds, right? Is when you can start responding to other people's agendas. When you put your stuff first.
Put your stuff first.
So he only replies to people's emails once a day.
Once a day. And he doesn't even reply to all of them. I mean, he really, if he doesn't absolutely have to, he doesn't. I mean, this is the guy who he talks about blocking out time. Sometimes block time is basically when you schedule with yourself an appointment, and it could be an all-day thing if you're working on a major project. He's writing a new book, he says, he'll go for 3 weeks without even checking email. And he has an autoresponder in his email that says, if you need me, and if you have my number and you absolutely need me, send me a text. If you don't, basically,
contact
my team or my assistant. And
Evan.
That way he trains people in the expectation that he's going to be off the map, right? And if it's an absolute emergency, they can get in touch with him through different channels. But, that's the block time concept. So if you find that you're not getting as much done, create an appointment with yourself. Schedule it within your week. And that way if someone says, hey, can we meet at 2, you're like, sorry, I'm booked, right? You're booked with yourself.
You're booked with yourself.
But yeah. You're booked. And you're working on the really high priority things that are moving your business forward instead of getting caught in distractions and other people's agendas, right?
He is so effective about this that in his business, which is, he does a lot of stuff online, it's not like being at the store, but he takes off 21 weeks.
25
weeks a year.
And he makes $10 million a year, which is kind of crazy.
Knows how to use his energy and his time.
Right. And these are things that we'll talk about next week too, in terms of building in your rituals.
Building the rituals.
This, it's going
to
take some...
specific to you, where you are, and specific to you, because it's going to be different for like Cynthia's a store, you're in sales and Scott's in sales, but specific to you, what rituals do you need to help you manage your time and energy better?
Cool. Was there anything else that we wanted to mention?
What time is it?
I did want to mention this about email, just briefly. How often would you guys say you check your email, just out of curiosity? How many times a day?
Once a day at most.
All the time.
All the day.
Yeah, it's always there.
Just like, what do I have?
Yeah, as soon as I see a new email, I grab it.
Okay.
I get a little notification new email. Okay, handle that out of the way.
It's funny, because we were at this conference where he talked about that. He said, those notifications that you put, Facebook, email, social media notifications, it's like having a 5-year-old screaming, running through your office when you're trying to work, right?
That's exactly right.
That's about the level of distraction it is, because you're constantly pulled off. They found that, they've researched this, people with emails especially, and with news sites, when you get distracted from a task, it takes on average 15 to 25 minutes to get back on the task, and with every single distraction that you have. So,
Every time you get, sometimes people only literally have 5 or 10 minutes out of every hour where they're moving towards because of all these things that are coming in that they're, these pressing urges. Email's also interesting because it's what's called intermittent reinforcement. Have you guys heard of that? So the idea is that, and they did these studies with like rats and rewards, and if you reward a rat on consistent intervals, like every time it goes up to this thing and gets a treat, it gets trained to expect it at that time. But when you do it randomly, the rat goes crazy and it's constantly trying to get the treat. It's like getting in that high, kind of the high beta, the freaking out franticness. That's what happens with our email, because sometimes it's like we're always waiting on that email to come in, or you know, you're wondering what fire you have to put out today. It's that intermittent, like, so on a brain level, it's kind of like people get addicted to that. That's what happens. Mm-hmm. Like they get like a mental, psychological addiction to checking their email for that reason. Mm-hmm. So you want to put it in its right place, right? It's not to get rid of email. It's just putting it in its right place in your life. And some of these things will help you do that.
He added up, and I don't remember the figure, of how much productivity we're all losing a day. And then he said times a week, times a year. And it was like, it came
it's
out
like
to 13 be
years
13
life.
Years of your life.
Because
of
the constant interruption.
Constant.
Of email distraction.
So it's really, it's cool stuff.
So
an email with a text is would it be worse?
Text too,
because people expect a quick answer back on text.
Yeah,
and sometimes it's just not
some
good
of the
timing to do
people.
It, but you feel a need to have to answer
right.
the text.
Yeah, for sure. Some of it is retraining people too.
Yeah.
I mean, if they get upset with you, just say, "Hey, I didn't see my phone," or I purposely left it because I was working on something really important, and I think they'll understand. I mean, if you get back in them the same day, as long as it's not a really super important, I feel like that's fast enough,
Yeah.
Interesting. I like text better than phones for that purpose.
Right.
But I can get back when it's convenient for
right,
me.
Right, exactly.
But I found that when I first started here, I wasn't checking my email enough for these two.
No, now, that's no longer a deal.
Yeah, now it's a little different. But
yeah.
And now I'll check it, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times.
Yeah, we were
day,
in a bad habit of just that, living on the email.
Yeah. I still have a hard time keeping up because I'll come in and check my email, and then an hour later I see there's 5 more, and it may be from the same client that I got 3 yesterday from him
right.
that forwarded.
We need to turn off Trello and get notifications on email, though. That'll help.
No, that's your own setting.
Y'all, as a system, you'll work out something that's really helpful for everybody, and that's part of the rituals. You guys will have rituals for your business of how things are handled so that your time is protected. His time, your time, Edwin's.
This checklist for flow is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm going to live by this.
Yeah. So I'll upload that so you guys can put that off if you want to fill it out every day or whatever.
Just look at it. Sorry.
Or just look at it, yeah.
Do you have any other questions? Because I have 2 resources I want to share with you.
Okay.
And I will email these to you because you can just click on the link and go. For those of you who want to, it's kind of interesting because of the timing of this. Are you familiar with Deepak Chopra?
Mm-hmm.
All right. He has a 20-day meditation with Oprah, not with Oprah, but it's starting today. It's free. The link, you click on the link and you can hear, and I heard it, and the intro, you know what it's called? Finding Your Flow. 21-day meditation experience. Short things to listen to. And he's got a really nice voice. And the very first thing is you've got parts of your brain that are for your emotions and stuff. And it's like, I went like, oh my gosh, that's starting today. You can click on it. You might not listen to it all the time. But if you're not familiar with meditation, or if you just want to listen to it, even just listening gets you in a better flow state because it calms you down. That's one thing. The other thing is there's a company called HeartMath. And I will send all these links to you if you want to check it out. They are the ones who've done all the research. They've done a lot of research on the heart and the connection between the brain and the heart. They have these cool products that are not very expensive that retrains your body away from the stress reaction. They're small. One of them's portable. You can carry it with you. It has charts. It can, you know, you can. It measures your different things, your blood flow. So I'm going to send you that because that is way cool because it's a physiological way to change what's going on to make your heart beat more coherent. Remembering, the more you get that, the more your brain waves are in the flow state. So, and the stuff is way cool. That is on the cutting edge of retraining your brain. So I will send that link to, and they have, and you can just play. There's .org, and then there's one that has the products, and I will send that to you. We like to just give you all the resources that we can think of, you know.
Yeah, if you want to take advantage of it. Let's just briefly go over what we're doing for next week. I feel like, because we forgot to mention the worksheets and the saboteur test, it's probably why some people forgot to take it. At the end, I think we didn't mention it.
Yes, we will be. Edwin and I won't be here next Monday.
Okay.
We had a client who rescheduled. The only day they could do it next week was next Monday.
Okay.
All
right.
I got jury duty next Monday.
Okay.
Guilty.
I'll be here if I'm dismissed.
If you're dismissed. Okay, cool.
Okay.
He looks guilty as something.
Yeah.
So is it six weeks here and then it's 2 weeks?
Virtually.
Okay, I thought it was 4 and 2 for some reason. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, tell them about the new one, and you alluded
to
that, right?
let's get through this first. It's 129, so I just want to make sure we get through this first. Basically, you're just going to do every day, you know, kind of once a day at least, use this checklist for flow. Just kind of scan through it. You want to tick off the page. There are also some questions before that you want to fill out. Just, this is more of an awareness thing, like, is your work environment conducive to flow? You know, so what do you need to change about it? What kind of outside distractions? How do you distract yourself? You will read in the ritual section how badly I distracted myself before I started getting into this stuff. it was bad. I was very unproductive. So you can read the Flow and Divine Intelligence article on page 85. And then just read the Creating Positive Rituals. You don't need to do worksheets or anything, but just read that before next week. Yeah.
We will record it, obviously,
for
anybody
who's
absent.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that. That really helped me.
Good.
I appreciate it.
Good. It was pretty clear. You could hear it well. And...
Mm-hmm. It was good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It automatically started over again, and I didn't realize it was doing that. I heard y'all continue talking. I'm like, wait a minute, did I just hear this?
Yeah. I don't know how to change that.
I don't know if that was on
my
computer or not.
It could have been. I don't know. Cool. And you can download it, too, if you want to. You know, you can download it, put on your iPod or anything too. If you just right click on it and save as.
Anything else? Any questions? No, we'll probably send you a survey out again. We really appreciate you giving us feedback because we're like co-creating. It's okay. We're co-creating this as we go. You know, and that's why we came up with. I kept saying to Josh, "We're missing something. We're missing something. There's something we're missing in a bigger picture." And we came up with purpose. Purpose. What's your purpose for your business? And it's like, it goes beyond, like, bigger purpose. Why are you here? What's your purpose? And so we were writing that, going, oh, wow, this is good. But you're helping us expand, you know, where we're going. And so that's way cool. So we really appreciate you and your energy here and your willingness to participate and you doing your stuff. And woo, cool. Woo.
All right.
Thank you.
Cool. Sweet. Thanks, guys.
And so what we're thinking of doing is, I don't know, did you mention that?
What we're probably going to do is, just so you know, you don't have to worry about it now, but we're creating right now another separate lesson on purpose, and that'll be the last lesson. In hindsight, we probably have done that as the first lesson, but we really think that when you engineer your entire business around your purpose and your interactions with people, it's magic happens there, and so we're creating some really cool stuff on that. Yeah.
Just an idea. I think you should make that your brief version of it, your first lesson, and a big version of
Absolutely.
Your last lesson.
That's where we've gotten to it. Mm. And so I was processing on another level. I went to Alpha though for a minute. Did you tell them that we're gonna instead of do the last lesson, we're gonna
well,
do the,
yeah,
we'll, probably,
we're still gonna do the last lesson, but it's gonna be worked into the last session probably. So next week we'll hand you some more workbook pages for the very last one, and. We'll tell. Don't worry about it right now. We just want to let you know that the sessions
coming
are going to change
slightly. We're not extending the time because we know you've committed your time.
Yeah.
We're just kind of tweaking when we're doing certain things.
Right. And reminder that
next week we have a session. The week after we won't, right? So everyone's clear about that.
They're going to Disney World.
Yeah, so we're going to be, yeah. So it's the 28th, I think.
We could just go to Disney World,
man.
You
could just
Let's do it.
It's the 28th, I believe, yeah.
And then we meet one more time, but when do you think we'll be over in your place? But probably not till then.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe by next week, but Edwin and I won't even be here next week.
No.
Let's do it on the 5th. The 5th will probably be there.
Here next week.
Yeah. Here next week, and then the last one will be at the new office, which is, I think, apropos to what this is all about, since that whole space came from the first lesson.
Yeah, really, it's kind of crazy.
And done by the last lesson.
Yeah.
That's how we let
Can you believe that?
Yeah, right? That is kind of crazy.
That's how we roll.
That
is crazy to think about.
Yeah, and our space is they're going to be there now.
Yeah. It's really cool, yeah.
Where is it?
It's right off Atlanta Highway.
So do you know where Quality Glass is, kind of behind McDonald's?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Quality Glass is our landlord. They own this building. You have to pull up into Quality Glass and pull to the back of it. And then there's a blue building out back. It looks cinder block and kind of... The design is interesting on the outside. There's some kind of industrial designs. But once you get in, you're like...
It's really cool.
Fabulous.
It's really
big, tall, you know, those
like
open
a warehouse.
And,
yeah.
Probably not bad since it bulldozed Paldo.
What?
So what?
It's probably not too bad since it bulldozed Paldo.
You know, we don't care what's around us because right back there we've got like